And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a fantastic crowd we have out there with us already. And we have Groovy Bean out there manning the ideas room in style. We don't have the lovely Olivia with us tonight. She's coming back for X100, which kicks off a three-part series of the X series, a three-part presentation of X100 coming up this Friday. And this is really important because we've been, you know, detailing and going through so many of the reports of this aftermath period after all the coronavirus stuff hit, after this crazy election, after the deep event on January 6th, and all of the ramifications and the government setup of the Biden administration. So we've been seeing a lot of these things. And you know, what really gets me is that when we look at all of the things that they're putting into place, it literally, you know, that there's so much naked aggression towards the human race coming from these corporate overlords and from the government entities. So we're really going hard here to explain a lot of this. The censorship has been on overdrive, and there's just no way to get around that. They feel that any thing that goes outside of the big tech narrative, of the big media narrative, of the Davos crowd narrative needs to be silenced. And this is what we're going to really get at tonight on this President's Day. And after all, when we think of the President's Day, you know, they used to have Abe Lincoln Day and George Washington Day, and they were trying to figure out what do we do with this, and they just combined it. But really, there's a lot of presidents that we don't want to celebrate, let's face it. But we've had some really great ones, and those great presidents have warned us, from Jefferson to Washington and also JFK and FDR, really giving us that warning about the media and about the ability to of state censorship to just silence ideas. And this is what we're going to really get at tonight with the censorship on overdrive worldwide. A couple of other things that we're going to touch on is the people that they are censoring, especially RFK Jr. was recently thrown off of Instagram. He had close to 1 million followers, and Instagram just decided, you know, this guy is really changing minds, and he is actually distributing the real deal, and we're going to be in trouble because everything we're pushing is all about these injections and the experimental injections. And if we don't get people on that whole cycle, then we can't basically enslave them. So we need to get this guy who's thinking freely and kick him off these networks. It doesn't work that way in America in particular, and in other countries as well. So we're going to see how that ultimately is going to fail, because, you know, there's a whole kind of Pandora's box with this. So they can't put the genie back in the bottle. And what's happened really is that so many free thinkers in the public and in the alternative media have turned on, you know, deep insight and have really gone deep to find the truth on these things. So this is where we are at this point. And what they're trying to do is say, oh no, let's take back those 20, 25 years of internet freedom, silence it down, make you go into this kind of Facebook gulag or Twitter gulag where your wrist gets slapped if you say anything that's against the establishment. And it goes right and left. You know, a lot of people on the left, I believe, like to believe, oh, you know, this is a good thing. We're going to silence all the dissident voices on the other side. And what they don't realize is they're basically cutting out their own tongue, because they're also getting silenced. So this is what happens with Nazis. If you join up with Nazis, eventually those Nazis turn on you. It's inevitable. And we've seen it throughout history over and over again. And while I'm on this subject, I want to remind everyone to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our free newsletter so that we always stay in touch, because with all the things they're doing with social media, just throwing people off left and right, and really think about it. They threw Trump off Twitter. They just threw RFK Jr. off Instagram. You know, when they're going to get down to the Dark Journalist, it's going to happen there. So what we need to do is have that pipeline back and forth. And basically, all we do with the newsletter is send it to you once a week. Not a lot of marketing in there, just letting you know what incredible shows, incredible interviews, and incredible events that we have coming up for you, the likes of which are going to blow your mind, especially in February, March, and April. We really have this lined up very solid. So we have some great things in store for you. Okay, let's get into a couple of these. Let's start with RFK Jr. since right off the bat. Actually, since this is President's Day, I'm going to start with JFK's morning, actually, and get that rolling into the picture. Now, of course, John F. Kennedy took the time to really spell out for us the dangers that were involved in excessive secrecy. He was dealing with a national security state that was completely out of control. They wanted to nuke countries that they didn't agree with. They wanted to take over Cuba. You know, this was the nature of the thing, and the CIA was behind it. And he was in a struggle his entire career as president, as the 35th president of the United States, fighting this incredible corrupt bureaucracy, which got started in 1947 as a result of the National Security Act. The National Security Act also got us into intense trouble over the UFO file. And we can't really talk about open politics and the secret system of finance and all these different things that are out there without getting right to the UFO file, because it is a big factor in the geopolitical scene that we've been looking at. And so if you understand the UFO file and you understand the secrecy around it, the technology involved, the lethal groups, X-Protect, for example, that are involved with it, then we can see that we're looking at an entire division of life that ordinary people never get a look at. You know, we hear little things about it nowadays. They give us little breadcrumbs about the UFO file and always attach it to a threat, this kind of thing. And we have seen groups that have come forward and really push these different narratives, like the TTSA. And a lot of that is starting to get weak. And so the Biden administration is coming up with their own solutions for this kind of thing. And they're trying to negate the Space Force with President Trump started. So this gets us into very, very interesting territory, and we're going to go down that path as well. But first, I'm going to read the warning from John F. Kennedy back in 1961 when he was addressing the media, and he was warning about excessive secrecy that could be imposed and what we needed to do to stop it. And the quote is, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths and secret proceedings, Davos. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it," free speech being one of our most incredible traditions. "And there's very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment." Now, this is where Kennedy, again, is so far-reaching in his vision, and he sees this domestic terror bill coming up in the future, and this is what we're facing now, where anything that you say that's against the state, you become a domestic terrorist. And they'll try to, you know, flower it around and say white supremacist and all that, but they're going to go after every race, every color, every creed. Anyone who doesn't go along with the program is going to become labeled a domestic terrorist criminal. So this is Joe Biden's big push, and this is why Biden's administration is immediately going down this fascist track. And the domestic terror bill is one of the worst pieces of legislation ever introduced in the history of the United States. It's completely undemocratic. It's unconstitutional, and it makes George Bush look like a freedom fighter, which is hard to do considering he passed the Patriot Act. Okay, back to Kennedy's quote. "I not only would not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error does not become a mistake until you refuse to correct it." This is very important. "We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed. Think about that. All they want to do is stifle debate on Facebook, on Twitter. Anytime you say something that doesn't agree with the party line on COVID, on injectables, experimental vaccines, on the political program, on the election, they just want to shut you off. And here is Kennedy saying, without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed and no republic can survive. This is the warning across 60 years. And it's a warning we have to heed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. Let's try that again. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. We do not shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment. The only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution. Think about that. Not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices. To lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. President John F. Kennedy addressing the press in 1961. This is the danger of the intense censorship that we're facing and why every keyboard warrior, every citizen, every letter writer, everyone who shows up to a town hall, everyone who cares about the survival of the United States of America needs to be involved in this and stand up for free speech and freedom online and needs to boot back the Hitler-style, Stasi-style, communist-style censorship that Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and all these other goons have been placing on our communications. Now, recently, they suspended my account for 10 days on Twitter. And then they wrote me a letter basically saying, well, we thought that there was irregular posts, you know, that you had posted something regularly. Perhaps it was an error, but, you know, so there you go. They just shut you down. And when I came back to the account, it had 10,000 less followers. Now, we have more followers than ever, actually. But this is how they do it. They just take the voice away. We've seen over and over again how they install algorithms for conversations that are going to a certain political place so that the conversation will stop, so that people won't see it in their feeds. So that's pretty ugly censorship. And this is the place that we're at, and we can't deny it and just say, well, it'll get better. It's not. They want it. They want the kind of draconian measures. And now we have to talk among ourselves about how to deal with that. Of course, we use this incredible platform of YouTube, and we've reached many hundreds of thousands of you through it. And that's a great thing that we have this moment right now to exchange these ideas. I do not take it for granted. And on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, we recently joined Telegram because Telegram is an app that's saying we're not going to censor anybody. And so far, they've really kept their promise, and it's a very thriving community. We only just started on there, so just a couple of posts. But we're going to be looking at that, not to show up on all kinds of different platforms where it's hard to figure out what's what. And remember, the best way to find our stuff is always the newsletter and the website. But to start to move our energy away from these platforms is going to be important. It's inevitable because of the intense censorship that they are installing. Now, the thing is, a lot of people have said to me, enough people have said this to me, you know, why stay on YouTube then? Because really, it's their move. You know, I'm just doing what I've always done, which is presenting the truth to you and dealing with these issues, trying to make sense of the geopolitical situation, the deeper issues. So YouTube can take the action of silencing me as they've silenced many others. That's on them. I'm not going to stop doing what I started out doing. If they want to take away the platform, you know, then that's what they'll do. But I'm not going to participate in that or preemptively say, well, I'm leaving before they do it. We've put together this entire community, and if YouTube feels that we're such a threat to their paradigm, and if the Davos crowd pressures them to get rid of people like this show, then we'll be that will be recorded against them in the scheme of things. So I'm going to continue doing the kind of work that we do here. Okay, enough of that. So we've got President Kennedy's warning on this President's Day, and I think we have to remember that he paid a major price for telling things as they were, as we have seen other presidents do as well. But it's not just for us to be martyrs now, is it? It's just, for us to be able to bravely state, these are the facts, these are the things that the country was founded on, these are the things that governors, mayors, congresspeople, presidents, district attorneys swear to, the Constitution, judges. We're all under the Constitution. You cannot get away from the Constitution. And when they act unconstitutionally with censorship, with the Domestic Terror Act, with the intense surveillance, that's not constitutional. So we are reclaiming our constitutionality of this country. And it's a process. It's one person at a time. But remember, they're sworn to it. Keep that in mind. They have sworn an oath to the Constitution. They can't get around their own oath. So if we point it out and we press the case in a peaceful, illegal manner, ultimately, we're in the right. And this is so crucial for us to remember as we move through these incredible atrocities that we're seeing in the public sphere. Speaking of the atrocities, RFK Jr. banned from Instagram. Let's take a look at this. Well, what happened here? Why was RFK Jr. so dangerous to the establishment that they had to silence him? Literally take him off a major platform. This is a Kennedy, for heaven's sake. The son of Robert Kennedy, the nephew of President John F. Kennedy, the standard bearer of the Kennedy family. You're going to pull him off of Instagram with a million followers? Why? Why such naked aggression? CNN Business. Instagram on Wednesday took down the account of controversial anti-vaccine activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We removed this account for repeatedly sharing debunked claims about the coronavirus or vaccine, the spokesperson for Facebook, which owns Instagram, said in a statement. That's a corrupt little deal there, too, which is Facebook. Instagram. It reminds me very much of when the major labels were doing music and all these independent labels came along, were kicking their butt. And then they were like, oh, we have to pretend we're an independent label. So Instagram is actually just a big corporate machine, just like Facebook is. They're actually owned by them. Here's the New York Times trumpeting the same article. And they are really celebrating this because Kennedy has been an incredible thorn in their side. And why? Because he has exposed what they've been up to in not testing these experimental injections. He's exposed the fact that in 1986, legislation was passed that made it impossible for you or I to sue a pharmaceutical company over vaccine injury. It's that extraordinary. This is the nature of the situation. That happened in 1986, and it came about because the pharmaceutical companies were getting sued right and left because they weren't testing things properly. And they weren't making sure and safeguarding the public health. They were trying to jam through these things and make a profit, which is really what they're good at. They're not really good at alternative medicine, and they're not really good at preventative medicine. They're just good at trying to get you on these updates and, get a flu shot every year. And now the coronavirus shot is going to be every year. And they're like, oh, you're going to need it. Well, they're going to keep pumping it out. One of the things that RFK Jr. told me when he was on the show here last June, and he's coming up again soon, was that they had 300 of these vaccines in the pipeline. And, he's not, to describe him as like an anti-vax, that's ridiculous. He is somebody who is against excessive pharmaceuticals being used and deployed on a population without them knowing what is in those pharmaceuticals, especially in the coronavirus vaccine. What goes on in that? Well, It's experimental. They haven't used it before. So shouldn't we explore its impact on the physical body? Oh, no, no, no. And by the way, those people dying who are taking it, that's normal, right? That's just something that happens. We have to live with that. Well, no, we don't. And there have been many, many treatments for the coronavirus, which were rejected, which now they are grudgingly admitting, yes, they do work. Yes, hydroxychloroquine does work. Yes, ivermectin does work. And but now that they have the supremacy of the pharmaceuticals on board, and the United States has ordered 300 million of these, then they have the whole program going. They can go back and say, you know what, those little companies are going to sue us. Let's let them go. So in 1997, the United States became one of only two countries that would allow pharmaceutical commercials. So, you know, suddenly it became like a fashionable thing to have an issue where you needed to take, you know, medication and, you know, psychological, get yourself on these psychological drugs. And it got really, you know, so that they pushed it all the time and it became way more accepted. Now, in 1990, the average person would get, you know, a student from birth through being a student, through being an adult, you get six vaccines. Now it's 78. That's obviously an incredible jump for pharmaceutical profits in 30 years. But where's the necessity for it? And now, you know, the vaccines are supreme. This is the way that they're handling it. So we need to peer behind the curtain, and that's what RFK Jr. was doing. He was saying, in fact, the people that are pushing this the most, Bill Gates, have a gigantic control of the world patenting life program, and it needs to be exposed and it needs to be stopped. And instead, 60 Minutes was doing these segments with Bill Gates about the next pandemic, getting ready for the next pandemic, making sure we're ready. And who was sponsoring the segment? Pfizer. So how are you going to tell the truth about Pfizer if you're 60 Minutes with Bill Gates there, if they're sponsoring the spot? They're not going to give you the money. So this is the problem of journalism in America and around the world today. It's paid for. It's just bought and paid for editorial commercialism. And it has very, very little to do with the facts anymore, and it's degenerated even in the past 10 years. The good news is that the alternative media is rising like a lion to expose that. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist program. We are going deep here on President's Day and trying to see what this censorship worldwide overdrive is all about. We're going to be coming back, of course, with the X series. This coming Friday, we're doing starting a three-part series on X100, which we've been working on for a while, and covering all the things in the aftermath of all this craziness has been really quite interesting, I have to say. And the X series episodes have been waiting there in the wings to come forward. So we're going to have those for you. I want to remind you to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter. You know, this is the way that we're going to stay in touch through all of these various changes. And it's going to give us that direct link, that direct pipeline to each other, which is so crucial, I think, right now. And those who have it are going to survive the censorship. And those who don't, it's going to be a lot tougher. That's for sure. It's one of the reasons I never got on Patreon or any of that junk, because, you know, I don't want them to say, hey, you know, you can't do this. Click. Here's the red button. You're gone. You know, I think the kind of service that we provide to you and the kind of relationship that we have with each other can be very unfettered by all this other stuff. And it works very good when it's direct. Okay. So we do have a fantastic group out there tonight. We are going to be taking questions on Friday. We were not going to do questions tonight because we don't have Olivia with us. But keep those questions ready for Friday because we're going to want to get into them. And I'll try to shout out a few people before we're done here tonight. Okay, let's get into a few things that RFK Jr. said that may have been behind this incredible, unceremonious deplatforming that took place. of course, they've deplatformed many articulate voices. You know, Dr. Simone Gold, who the FBI has now arrested, claiming that she was involved in this deep event on January 6th, when in fact she just happened to show up. And let's face it, one of the reasons they want Dr. Simone Gold, who has been so articulate in telling us about medical freedom and telling us the real ins and outs of the coronavirus and the COVID hysteria that they've really been pushing out there, is because she's both a doctor and a lawyer. So she knows the issues quite well, and she's really one of the most articulate spokespeople for this. And there is actually a fundraiser going on for her legal bills. And I would suggest that you find Simone Gold, Dr. Simone Gold, on Twitter. And you know what I'll do when the show is over? I will provide that link in the description of this video, because that is someone who really deserves our support, along with other people like attorney Sidney Powell, who brought so many issues to the fore about voting irregularities in Dominion Software. And Dominion Software went after all these people like Powell, trying to sue her for $1.3 billion. but I'll tell you, one of the things that she got them to do was to snuff out their Denver office and take off. So whatever was going on in their Denver office for Dominion, watch out. So they've been running around trying to sue everybody. But the truth is, in fact, the next election should all be paper ballots because of the intense manipulation of the latest election. Okay, this is RFK Jr. This is the text that got him banned. And I want you to listen closely as I read this. He is in a conversation, and he's doing a little back and forth. And this is the key portion of this whole thing. Okay. I have a piece that I interviewed you for extensively that's running in The Defender this week. The Defender is his newspaper over there at Children's Health Defense, about Bill Gates's new feudalism. The U.S. papers finally recognized the tip of the iceberg of what's happening, because they discovered suddenly that he was now the biggest owner of farmland in the United States of America. I can't think of a more terrifying, aside from the fact that he owns so many of the satellites. This is a person who has no regard for human life and wants to harvest the human race, and he's the biggest owner somehow of farmland in America. Absolutely terrifying. Okay, back to RFK Jr. He did this health campaign to take over our farmland. Nobody knew he was doing it. He was buying it through shell companies, Cascade Investments, and other means. And what I do in this article with your help is connect what he's doing in this country. He's also investing in Alphabet, which is a Google company, and developing robotic farm workers that will replace farmers. You're never going to replace that knowledge base. So that's a very dangerous move, actually. He's developing artificial intelligence and stealing the knowledge, as he did in India. And let's remember, Gates and that whole Monsanto push threw these farmers off their farms in India, and it was an incredible humanitarian nightmare. Remember that, so you're dealing with not the glorious Gates that they try to present to you through the media. In fact, those of us who worked in tech journalism, as I did for a decade, know very well that Gates' reputation was as basically a very cutthroat pirate style, really just one of the worst, most unethical operators in the entire space. He's developing artificial intelligence and stealing the knowledge, as he did in India, from the little farmer. He puts cameras in their homes, in their fields. He puts sensors everywhere to figure out how they were using the seeds. And then he took the seed banks. Listen closely. Remember, they threw him off Instagram with a million followers. Listen closely to what he said that got him thrown off. Talking about Bill Gates, he of the Bill Gates Foundation and the COVID vaccine and all that WHO funding. There's 15 seed banks around the world that store all of the heritage seeds of humanity, 786,000 species of seeds. They're there for humanity, for the commons. And he has taken over that seed bank consolidated it, and is now privatizing it. Now, this was something that was set up specifically for humanity to survive. These seed vaults are in Norway, Denmark, and other places. And here Gates went in, took over, paid people off, and now he owns those seed companies, and he's consolidating them. Now they're privatized, and they're changing the genetic makeup of those seeds. This is an outrage, an absolute outrage. Making it so they are chemically dependent, so he can patent all of the life that has developed over 20,000 years of agriculture on this planet. It is undeniable that that is what he's doing. They're trying to patent life and sell it back to you and control you, because if you don't play ball, zap, your little chip goes off and you're not able to play ball anymore. By the way, that's why I'm no fan of digital currency. I want to start telling this story about what happened during the Green Revolution, which was started by the Rockefellers, mainly in India and Mexico. And remember how good that sounds? Oh, hey, it's the Green Revolution. Right. We want a green planet. And all it means is these very small entities, so-called elite entities, get together and figure out how to harvest all those things that humanity needs, like seeds, like water, like access to food, and figures out how they can consolidate, own them, and then give it back to you like you're some serf back in the Middle Ages. And they started doing the same thing here, and it's the same thing he did with vaccines. There's a human problem, which he says is hunger or disease, and I'm going to solve it with my technology, which is GMO crops, patented seeds, synthetic foods, chemical agriculture, pesticides, petroleum-based fertilizing monocultures, etc. And he went into 13 African nations and forced them to do commodity agriculture, to accept his inputs, built a supply chain, and now there's 131 million people starving in those nations. The starvation rate has gone up by 30%. It hasn't fixed anything. None of those GMOs have done jack for the average people in Africa. And he's now trying to do the same thing to the rest of the world. And I know you've been active in Africa, he's speaking to his guest here, and fighting them there for many, many years. And that really helped alert the world about this. It's not about farming. It's not about food. It's about taking over our land and giving us really unhealthy food, unquote, RFK Jr. After this, zap, say goodbye. They pulled the platform underneath RFK Jr. And why? Because he was telling the truth. And remember, the penalty for truth in this Orwellian culture is censorship. This is what we're seeing over and over again. RFK Jr. understands it very well. His uncle, JFK, who we started the show off with, understood it very well. One of the things that RFK Jr. learned from his dad, RFK, was people in power lie. And we have to accept that fact. If we walk around just believing, well, they have our best interests at heart, and here I'm lining up for the next experimental injectable, thank you for putting it in my body, isn't that strange? Suddenly, my DNA is altered, and my ability to, have children and things is altered. And gee, you know, isn't that interesting how they mandated this thing when everybody said they never could? Now, right now, it's not mandated, but I'm going to show you how they are going to and how that is the plan in the works. Again, thank you everyone for joining me here. This is a great Monday evening show, President's Day, just to get together with you and to share some of the insane things that are going on, and also to give you a heads up that we have a three-part X-Series episode, X100, part 1, 2, and 3 coming up. And this is something that I'm very much looking forward to. I've been working on it now for a couple of months. And I want to remind you to go to darkjournalist.com, sign up for our newsletter, keep us in touch. And really the best way to do that is to be on the newsletter mailing list. Tonight we have Groovy Bean out there running the boards in the ideas room. And it's there's a lot of fantastic, great names, familiar faces out there. And it's great to have you all with us. And of course, when we come back for the X series, we'll be doing questions. but we won't be doing questions tonight. Okay. Now, some countries could require vaccine passports by summer 2021. This is what they're all about right now. That's the one. So remember this. Companies race to tweak COVID-19 vaccines amid emerging mutated variants. The variant is the new thing, right? This is something that they feel like, oh, you know, the actual thing, people are getting sick of it. They don't want to wear masks, which don't work anyway, by the way. And all of these different things associated with the lockdown. We've seen through it, enough evidence has come forward that lockdowns don't do anything except destroy lives and businesses. So they're coming up with this new thing. Ooh, the variant. You have to be afraid of the variant. Guess what? We have a vaccine variant. Order another 300 million of those, Joe Biden. Hey, no problem, says Joe. maybe we can get China in on this action. So this is the nature of the beast. And I have to say that when I look at the various moves by the Biden administration, I'm seeing a lot of Chinese influence. And of course, we know that Biden really had that intense relationship with the Chinese and through Hunter Biden, of course. Now, let's get into that a little bit here. This is very interesting because Bill Burns is the very interesting and unusual CIA director that Biden is put forward. He is the CIA nominee, and Richard Grenell, who was Trump's director of national intelligence, said something very interesting. By the way, he's somebody who's known to really not beat around the bush. He's very direct, and he may be running for governor against the disgraced Gavin Newsom in California, who is now being recalled with over 2 million people demanding that he step down because of his awful, and I mean inhumane, policies in California. To get away with that in America, wow. I still can't believe it. And, you know, it's that Bowie song, This Is Not America, that goes around in my head when I hear that one. But this is interesting because Grenell knows so much about intelligence, having been there in the hot seat as the director of national intelligence. And what he says is, Biden's CIA nominee Bill Burns had my support until troubling revelations of his connections to China surfaced. He is a Chinese plant. And again, the CIA right at the very apex of the deep state and running so many of the media ops, running the UFO op, you know, fixing elections in other countries and in this country. You know, just the CIA is the very height of unconstitutional activity, and they've been unchecked power since 1947. Okay, let's go a little bit further with Grenell. This is his article. Quote, I originally applauded the decision by President Biden to nominate Ambassador Bill Burns to lead the CIA. The idea that an outsider would bring a new perspective to the agency is definitely a goal worthy of support. Burns, a 33-career Foreign Service officer, has been a consumer of the CIA's products long enough to know what's useful for policymakers. His status as someone who spent their career inside the intelligence agencies should be the model for the intelligence community. But new revelations about Ambassador Burns' post-diplomatic career are troubling. And if, this is quite fascinating. I'm going to read a little more of this because his connections to China, this is basically China's guy on the inside, and he's going to be leading the CIA. Intelligence is designated to be an estimate of what we know and believe. And one of its main purposes is to give policymakers and other government officials confidential information free of bias to make the U.S. foreign policy decisions. The reality of today's analysts in the intelligence community is that too many are biased in their writings, excuse me. The next CIA director must confront the growing problem and fix it. He or she must be ready to withstand the phony accusations of political interference when they confront the bias. But the analysts covering Russia and China have drastically different standards that have become a serious impediment to accurate assessments. And what he's getting at here is that everything is favorable to China and anti-Russia. This was the setup that they had going in 2016 and why they were so upset when President Trump got in the first place. I received my first intelligence briefing in 2001 and have read tens of thousands of intelligence products since. I came to realize there was nice to know information and what was need to know information provided through briefings and reading sessions. As an expert consumer of intelligence, I believe it's imperative that the leaders of the intelligence community be outsiders. People who aren't biased to the process but accountable to the product. Burns could have been the right fit if, in 2015, he had not started working closely with the Chinese Communist Party. Unbelievable. Now, there's a couple of other things about him I want to mention. He had been accepting large donations from Chinese businessmen and urging congressional staffers to visit China and cozy up to the communist Chinese leaders. And he's going to be leading our intelligence community. Think about that. Think about Biden's priorities. As president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Burns was paid $540,000 a year, with some of the money coming from the think tank's Chinese connections. The Daily Caller's Chuck Ross reported that Burns led Carnegie to accept $2 million in recent years from Chinese interests. This is how they work, through the endowments, through the charitable organizations. Burns, who had previously served as the U.S. ambassador to Jordan and to Russia, also led the Obama administration's negotiations on the Iranian deal. In light of the new revelations against Burns surrounding China, the Senate must confront Burns' role in what we have learned since the Iran deal, too. As Mark Thiessen wrote in 2018, the negotiations were either outmaneuvered or untruthful. The recent revelations about Burns' post-diplomatic tenure and ties to China should prompt the Senate to reject his nomination. We need an outsider like Burns, but someone who isn't intertwined with the communist Chinese, working in an administration that has already demonstrated it is vulnerable to Chinese leverage. Wow. The last thing I want to say about Grinnell, who I think is an amazing voice in American politics right now, is he is engaging the battle and may become the candidate to unseat Gavin Newsom in the recall election going on, that's going to be happening in California. This is a crucial step, I think, towards establishing California as a viable state that's not under fascist control, again, as it has been under Newsom and crazy people like Mayor Garcetti, who they unconstitutionally extended his mayoral, time in office to 5.5 years from 4. That's unprecedented. Since when do you start just extending a mayor's term in office? Something very strange going on there. And with the Pelosi's and the Feinsteins and all that, California is just a big corrupt, ball of wax. And of course, we've seen it on the East Coast with Cuomo and his strange regime killing all the businesses. But who was behind Cuomo? Bill Gates. Who was he meeting with saying, let's keep the schools closed forever. Let's learn how to do, just Zoom classes at home. And then we'll sell off all those school buildings so we can build smart cities with Gates money. So we have to get behind the motivations of these people. Cuomo's an incredible hot water right now because his aide let loose when she was talking to other Democratic congressmen that, she was like, I'm really sorry that we hid the information on the nursing home deaths. She said that to them in private, and that got leaked. Thank God it got leaked, because Cuomo always denied doing that. And now we know through his negligence, they caused thousands and thousands of deaths in those nursing homes. So it's very interesting, the kind of karmic backlash that we're seeing around these things. Just remarkable. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show, going deep on all the developments around censorship and around freedom versus censorship in America on this President's Day 2021. We're in the middle of this incredible aftermath of the coronavirus and all that stuff happening in 2020. We're still in the midst of it, the election and all the shenanigans going on there. Just a remarkable turn of events that we're living through in active history right here. But if we can get our handle on the players and remember fundamentally that the big issues are not being talked about. The missing trilliums, for example, the UFO file, the incredible corruption going on behind the scenes, the incredible world dictatorship, and the fact that they're trying to take all private property away by 2030. These are the real things that are going on, not the stupid, you know, bring us back to the 60s with divisions within the country, and not the, you know, idiotic, oh, if those only those people would accept science. You know, I want to explain something when it comes to science, because this question comes up a lot. And there's always a lot of, you know, posturing on the liberal side, which is unfortunate because liberals should be very, very intelligent. But what they'll say is, oh, people won't accept science. That's why they're against, you know, pharmaceuticals and vaccines and experimental injections and all these things. No, look, there's two types of science. I'm going to explain it to you. There's paid science and there's real science. Here's an example. Real science. A company goes and they explored what Monsanto, who was trying to make everything GMO food until the alternative media exposed them. This company came together and they did all these studies, and it said, you know, that bee colony collapse, it's actually a direct result of Monsanto and their Roundup. And we can prove it. And so Monsanto tried to challenge them and thought about suing them, but they couldn't because the studies were rock solid. So that was real science. Then what happened? Monsanto buys the company and changes the report. That's paid science. So there's two types of science. And if, you know, so you can't sit there and say, it's science, I trust science, you know, because if you're just trusting paid science, it means somebody has paid for it. And that's not real science. It means pharmaceutical companies like to make a profit and they like you to be a sucker. And so that has nothing to do with science. It just means you're a sucker. So there's nothing intelligent about that. And you're not, you know, up in the clouds saying, I'm looking down at those people who don't accept the fact that, you know, we now need to take this experimental injection in order to get on a domestic flight. This is the next thing that they're going to try to push. They're already pushing it for international flights with tests. And the airline companies are saying, wait, slow down. There's no reason for that. And now it's occurring to people on the left, like Naomi Wolf, like Glenn Greenwald, who are looking at these things closely and saying, you know, this stuff with the lockdowns and with the free speech limitations and with the mandated this and the mandated that, and they're trying to stop domestic flights out of Florida, of all places, which the Biden administration discussed, and quickly got beated back, especially by Governor Ron DeSantis there, thank God, somebody who really can speak his mind, and therefore I think is a viable 2024 presidential candidate on the Republican side, and makes a good governor and eliminated fines for masks and all that ridiculous nonsense in Florida. And Florida's thriving, doing incredibly well, as South Dakota is, who's adopting a similar open policy and no lockdowns, none of the BS, none of the fascist, you know, Christine Whitman style, Cuomo style, Gavin Newsom style martial law tactics. You know, America's not designed for that. It will reject it ultimately, even if it falls for it for a while, even if they live under the lash and the whip, eventually they will rise up. It's inevitable. So we see a lot of these things happening, and we see so much of this going on, and we have to ask ourselves, what is it that they're after? What is this all about? And then we go back to the question of censorship again, which we started with, which is whatever it's about, they don't want us talking about it. Because if we can talk about it, if we can reason with each other, you know, then we can understand things like, hey, it's not about science, that's paid science. We have to think on two tracks all the time. And we also have to think in what I get this from Professor Peter Dale Scott, who I'm a great, you know, I've learned so much from Professor Scott over the years. He's done many interviews on this show, and his work has really been a central inspiration for Dark Journalist. You know, Professor Scott calls them piggyback operations. So if you want a global fascist system, then you take something like a COVID health crisis, and then you piggyback all these fascist controls on the back of it. We have to get used to these comments and understanding and speaking with each other about these things. There's no doubt in my mind that so many of the lockdowns, so many of the different things had nothing to do with health, They had everything to do with eliminating conversation, which is what we see online. These people are looking at this and they're saying, what can we do? How can we roll this program in on humanity if they're talking about it and they're aware it won't work? They have to be asleep to it. They have to be thinking that they need it in order for this whole system to work. And if they're not, we got problems. So Grinnell is someone also to watch, especially when it comes to this recall election with Gavin Newsom. And remember, Gavin Newsom, the nephew of Nancy Pelosi, a lot of problems in that family, lots and lots of problems. Okay, where should we go next? Oh, on this tip, I wanted to say, again, going around on the censorship question, this article came out, it was a real push, and they say JFK assassination greased the wheels of QAnon and COVID deniers. First of all, COVID deniers, trying to make it sound like Holocaust deniers. You should be able to look at anything that's going on in the public sphere, the coronavirus, 9/11, the JFK assassination, the manipulation on Wall Street, an open forum of discussions and ideas, and may the best ideas win. It's my opinion that so much of the Q stuff that was pushed out there was actually pushed out there by these other groups in order to create a straw man that they could take apart later, which is what we're seeing happening in the media now. If Q was the real thing, they would have been terrified to even talk about it. But instead, they created this whole thing online, and now anytime that you bring up anything that is rich with information in the alternative media, whether it's studies, you know, like I said, GMOs, we found out that GMOs caused major health problems. We found out that Monsanto's Roundup caused major health problems. And actually, RFK Jr. led some incredible cases against Monsanto as a result of that and won. So they had to pay out billions of dollars. And what happened? The company collapsed and Bayer had to buy it to rescue them and reform their image from all the Frankenfood that they were creating. So we can see very clearly that when they put these things together, they realize when people actually think about these ideas and they reach reasonable conclusions and they ask the right questions, then they have a problem because then their fascism is exposed, their surveillance state is exposed, their worldwide control grid is exposed, their desire to dominate is exposed. So instead of Lloyd Blankfein saving Patagonia, you know, the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, who was behind the 2008 crisis that threw so many homeowners out of their homes in order that Goldman Sachs could make a buck, it makes him look like some hero wants to save the ecology, but he's not. I'm sure there's something in those resource things that they do when they give those grants where they're getting more information about what they want to do. But this article was interesting. Okay, this is James Moore. And he is writing in The Independent in the UK, which is one of the biggest newspapers. And it goes, the same type of thinking fuels the Kennedy conspiracy theories and the venomous fiction concocted by extreme right-wingers that we see today. It needs to be laid to rest. Let me tell you something. As someone who has studied the Kennedy assassination, I can tell you that about 95% of the historians who said that there was a conspiracy and that the government eliminated President Kennedy are on the left. Professor Peter Dale Scott is the best example, probably the most outspoken advocate on behalf of people who don't believe the official version of the JFK assassination story, where they said, you know, oh, it just so happened that Oswald, you know, happened to get a job on the presidential route 6 weeks before the president drove there when nobody even knew the route, and he just happened to bring a gun up there and shoot him and get off that incredible magic bullet shot and seven wounds with one bullet and all that magic, which none of that happened. And also, he wasn't even a left winger, as we know. He worked for Guy Bannister in the summer of 1963. So that story is complete bunk. And yet, if you tell that story, if they ask you in high school who's the assassin of President Kennedy, or if you're in a college exam, and they give you multiple options, if you don't choose Lee Harvey Oswald, technically you're wrong. But it's sort of this schizophrenia that we live in society, because over 70% of the American public know that it was an Oswald acting alone. And so this is where part of this goes to. Now, what's interesting about this article is it's identifying something. It's saying people who have a free thinking mind about the JFK assassination also are behind all of this, you know, and that's why we need a domestic terror bill, because people have to stop thinking, basically. I want to read a little bit of this same article. Watching Oliver Stone's JFK in the age of QAnon, COVID denialism, and anti-vax conspiracy theories is a very different experience from watching it when the film arrived in cinemas 3 decades ago. The movie's conspiratorial bent and the liberties it takes with history is to advance both its plot and its contention that President John F. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas in 1963 was the end result of a vast conspiracy created controversy when it was released. This is very interesting to me. The JFK movie told the story of Jim Garrison's investigation in New Orleans. The records that the CIA wants to hold on to, one of the treasure troves that they would never let go, even under the Trump administration, are those Garrison records, because they had complete surveillance on Garrison during that trial. And they interfered with him at every turn, and those records would reveal that. It's already been revealed by Victor Marchetti, who was the assistant to the then CIA director, Richard Helms. And he said that they would start the meetings with, are we doing enough to help the person who Garrison was accusing, Clay Shaw, who was a CIA asset? So the JFK movie was very important, and it brought about the Assassination Record Review Board, which was a civilian panel that was able to look at these records that they've hidden ever since. Congress passed a law in October of 26 of 1992 and said in 25 years, these records have to come out. Nobody can stop it. And it's a law. And so that law was supposed to be, you know, we were supposed to have all the CIA records, including the Garrison records, but the CIA held on to those records. So this is where we've been ever since. I was there live streaming for HBO that day, expecting it to happen. And it didn't happen. And it was quite unusual. But what we found out later is that the CIA director had gone into Trump's office that morning and pleaded with him, don't release these. You'll be exposing America to greater peril and all this kind of nonsense. And so Trump said, well, you have to release some of them, but he let them keep a number of their records. And those are supposed to come out, by the way, in October of 2021. I believe with Biden in office, even less chance of getting to them. But it's interesting to me that now in the media, these people realize, you know what? It's the Kennedy assassination. The Kennedy assassination exposes the fact, it exposes the lie, because the historians and the media kept that story going for decades, and there was no truth to it. The truth was the Central Intelligence Agency had reached a point, the deep state had reached a point with President Kennedy where they could no longer control him, and they realized that he wanted to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces, and they retaliated. That there's so much evidence to support that outcome, and that Jesus James Angleton and Alan Dulles, who Kennedy had fired, who had been CIA director and was all involved in trying to invade Cuba, and who would run all of the CIA leads and intelligence leads for the Warren Commission to prevent the Warren Commission or anyone else from getting at those important intelligence reports. That's, you know, that's the story of what happened back there. There was a power struggle. There was a coup. There were other forces involved also. But the idea of a lone assassin has been blown away. You know, it's gone. And also the idea that Oswald was some unknown that no one was aware of and just got away with those. There's actually no evidence linking Oswald to the crime at all. And I've studied it. I've done documentaries on it. And when you actually get into it, there's none, literally none. And there's a lot of evidence that exonerates Oswald completely. So, for example, there was a second gun found at the Texas School Book Depository. It was not the gun that they found on the sixth floor was not a Mannlicher Carcano, which is what Oswald's rifle was. in his garage, it was a 7.65 Mauser rifle. That's the testimony of the police who showed up first. And one of them owned a sporting goods store and said, oh, look, I see on the barrel that it's a 7.65 Mauser. So that's on the record. So it's only CIA hypnosis through the media that Manlikar Carcano and all that stuff doesn't, you know, that's unreal. The actual reports show that this is what the police said, 7.65 Mauser, and the earliest reports actually reflected that. But these groups that are trying to push these incredible fallacies, you know, and who are trying to get us to stop speaking openly in the public, trying to shut down free speech in America, which is really amazing because it's right there in the Constitution. It's such a core principle for Americans to have free speech. Because the people who were fighting King George, they knew that that was King George's method, silence his enemies. So they understood the power of free press. And this is the nature that we find ourselves in the same situation again. And King George, in this case, is the Biden administration trying to ram this domestic terror bill down because they can say, anytime you disagree with we, the establishment, you're going to be a domestic terrorist. And, you know, people who are on the left who maybe voted for Biden, they think, well, you know, they're going to do some good things because those bad people won't be able to say bad things anymore. No. They're going to silence you too. And then what? And some of them are starting to realize that. So the boiling frog is getting a little hot. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. We are here with a special President's Day report live with you. It's an incredible crowd out there tonight. It's just nice to be here with you for this President's Day. And 2021, very interesting to reflect on President's Day since we just had a very controversial election and the deep state was very, very involved, unfortunately. We went through the censoring of RFK Jr. on Instagram and you know the Gates Empire trying to take over American farmland and install this biometric identity. They also censored on Twitter the Veritas account of James O'Keefe, who has been doing these incredible exposés, just phenomenal work with Facebook employees and Twitter employees, all admitting their incredible bias and trying to shut down any dissident voices. Twitter just reached a point where they were like, this guy is getting too much good stuff. Let's get rid of him. But they're showing incredible weakness. So this might please the Davos crowd when they show up there and they might be able to say, you know, I got rid of that guy. I censored him for you. And so, you know, those people look at them and they're like, that's good. That's good. You can keep your job. You can keep your role in society. But it looks on the outside, you know, even Angela Merkel, of all people, the leader of Germany, when they censored President Trump off of Twitter, she couldn't believe it because he was the president at the time. And, you know, he's the commander in chief and the leader of the free world, essentially. You're going to silence him on a platform? I mean, there's something obviously criminal about this. We had the Disney censorship of the Mandalorian star actress Gina Carano. And this is very interesting because she came out and she said what was on everybody's mind, which is, you know what they did in Nazi Germany? They got the public to turn on people. And that's what they're trying to do with the domestic terror bill. And that's what they're trying to do by silencing conservative voices and populist voices and Trump supporters and things of this nature. This is a fact, whether you're on the right or the left, it doesn't matter. If you're for Bernie or for Biden, you should still be for free speech, regardless. You know, if there's somebody that you don't like, you know, you should still respect their ability to speak. It's just as fundamental as the Constitution. How could it even become a question? And, you know, we have all these articles coming out. Well, when is, let's really look at that free speech question. These people shouldn't be allowed to talk because, oh, it's, you know, when they say things, they could incite something. You know, it's been going on for how many billions of years since humanity started? You know, free speech is essential. There is no rationalization for getting rid of it. If you want to get rid of it, you're either a communist or a Nazi. It's very simple. No American would ever want to get rid of free speech. That's insane. It's enshrined in the Constitution. It's the lead article. You're not going to be able to get rid of it. Okay. I will say this. This is very surprising. Now, there's a guy out there. I'm going to give him a mixed. I want to get at this point because there are liberals and people on the left who I admire and respect greatly and who formed so many of my opinions, as I've pointed out. And they are, many of them are very brave to say, you know, the CIA was against Trump supporters and they're against populism and they're part of this deep state that wants a global governance system. It's very obvious to anyone who looks into it. And even though they might not prefer people in the on the other side, they still will respect the fact that the CIA is targeting them and stand up for them. Now, there's a guy out there named David Talbot who's a really good, does incredible research. He's a liberal, and he did incredible research on the Kennedy assassinations. And The Devil's Chessboard was his incredible book. But one of the weird things that he's been up to lately is he became so deranged with his Trump opposition that he started to basically call on the CIA to get rid of the Trump administration, which is the CIA is the, you know, the arm that got rid of President Kennedy. So you see how this goes round and round and how we have to be very, very careful about just wanting things to be done our way, because the system that we get as a result, you know, we'll be living with for the rest of our lives. And if you want a fascist system, if you want a fascist country, that's what you'll embrace. So it doesn't make any sense to be against the CIA on one hand and say, oh, they killed President Kennedy 60 years ago, you know, 57 years ago. And at the same time, but it's okay if they come in and try to remove President Trump. It doesn't, you know, or now let's get their Trump supporters. Let's use the CIA and these surveillance people to silence those people. So this is what he put up there. The Republican Party must now officially be regarded as a domestic terrorist organization. And I kid you not, that's his exact quote. Now, there are good and bad Republicans, good and bad Democrats, good and bad libertarians. And by the way, former CIA Director Brennan, who was known as the Drone King, and who I point out very often in this program, it's a very absolutely diabolical background and record. He's someone who actually was trying to promote this UFO threat as well. But he came out and he said, you know, in this domestic terror bill, we need to make sure that we go after, and he listed all these people, all these different types of groups, and like, oh, these supremacist groups. But then at the end of it, he said libertarians. So let me see if I have this correct. So like guys like Judge Napolitano are domestic terrorists, you know, their thinking is really gone into bizarre land. But this is very disappointing because Talbot, who is an excellent writer, he's gone over into this thing. And this is what's happened to so many people, which is, they've understood the traditional system, and it was easy to say, you know, the Democrats embraced so many different freedoms, you know, and things. They were against the Vietnam War. Some of them started it, but and then they get to this point where they have actually exposed the Central Intelligence Agency's role in these assassinations. And they've exposed the deep state and things. And now they're turning around and saying, you know, that deep state needs to go after these people that we don't like politically. So they've become the fascists that they've outed. And, you know, from a headline like that, you can't run away from it. I mean, it's not my characterization of him. I actually respect and enjoy Talbot's work a lot. But saying things like that is crazy. It just means I can't stand to have opposition anymore. Anyone I don't like is a terrorist. That's what the Biden administration wants. And, you know, that's unethical. It's sick. It's undemocratic. And it's unconstitutional. It's un-American. It's very easy. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. We're just going to do a few more minutes to get this censorship worldwide overdrive here on Patriots President's Day. Patriots Day is coming up here in Boston, which is the marathon day. I want to remind you to go to darkjournalist.com and please sign up for our newsletter. Keep us in touch with each other. And, you know, we've had some incredible support. And we really appreciate all of our subscribers and the super chatters here tonight. Thank you very much for your support. It helps us to bring you this information. And we have some amazing X-Series episodes coming up for you, a three-parter X-Series 100 coming up very shortly. And we will be taking your questions during those live programs. On this one, we couldn't, but we have Groovy Bean out there running the chat, doing an amazing job in the ideas room. And so keep those questions ready for the next live X series. Okay, a couple of quick things. Have you noticed there have been a lot of nationwide outages in other countries, and now it's starting to happen here? I don't think that's any accident. Nationwide outage of phones and internet reported in Cuba, along with electricity. You know, a few weeks ago in Pakistan, this happened, and then it moved over to Poland. And it seemed to be these kind of ops to see how people would react when they were under this type of situation. We had this very strange story about a Florida water infrastructure hacker. And we have to get ready for the true and false versions of these stories that are coming up around these hackers. This is very crucial. Because certainly there are hackers, but that can also be a piggyback operation to make it look like a hacker, and somebody goes in and changes something, whether it's a financial thing or the electrical grid, or in this case, it was the Florida water infrastructure. And what happens is they get then these stories going. And there are real stories, and I've heard of stories of these people coming in to these counties and manipulating their various resources through hacking and then demanding some great fee as a result. So there are real stories around this. Who is doing that and who's setting up the precedent, I think, is quite fascinating. But the precedent as far as the media is concerned, and as far as the politicians are concerned, is what can they do if they whip up this idea, oh, you know, there are hackers for this and hackers for that. So if they get into things like nationwide blackouts in places like Cuba, if they start to do that, they have the ability to create these emergency conditions, and they can then move with emergency powers. We've talked about the continuity of government powers, the COG people. Admiral, you know, General Van Herk, and before him, Terence O'Shaughnessy, and all the strange actions that they took during the last year of the Trump presidency. This is something that I think we need to watch closely, because it's going to be such a story when it hits. They're going to say, like, oh, you know, like Canada, they had a complete blackout in Canada. And they're going to be able to introduce emergency powers as a result of that. Now, it's going to seem like a totally legitimate story as well. So that's the fascinating thing. So we need to be able already to get our minds trained around the fact that there are true and false versions of this thing. And how are we going to be able to spot the difference? Well, whenever it's attached to a new policy, so for example, if something like that happens in Washington, D.C. or somewhere like that, and they say, you know what? Those were Russian hackers, and now we're going to punish those Russians by putting even more troops along their border, or things like that. Look, when the 2016 election happened, Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration were just talking tough on Russia, because Russia is crucial, and they're leaving themselves out of this New World Order system to a large degree, not completely. And the New World Order system needs them for the digital currency and for other things. So they're a major problem. They're kind of a stick in the mud for Mr. Global. So they need, the Biden administration immediately upon taking office moved these nuclear B-2 bombers into position close to Russia, which is an inflammatory move, and shows again, you know, that they pushed all this Russian collusion BS with the Trump administration, which was proven completely false. That's just the fact. They spent $50 million doing it. Now look out at Washington, D.C. and see all of that sea of National Guardsmen. Well, they said, we did this as a result of the January 6th event, which was a deep event and had definitely a reality TV aspect to it. Well, now they've decided on the Biden administration side to keep the National Guard there through the end of the year at a cost of $46 million to the taxpayer. That's absurd. There's no reason for it. That is militarization of America. It's the very thing that they accused the previous administration of. So we need to get our minds wrapped around the things that they are doing and where this whole narrative is going with the incredible militarization on one hand, the domestic terror bill, which makes anyone who disagrees or says something that, you know, the corporate overlords don't like or the political overlords don't like, makes them a terrorist. Anyone who wants to vote for a candidate that they don't like, anyone who's a populist, you know, the Wall Street Journal and the very conservative media applauded when they pulled down RFK Jr.'s Instagram. I was shocked because they were getting behind deleting speech and they were saying, oh, they got those bad COVID misinformation guys. RFK Jr. was the worst. Thank God they took him down. They need to do more to do that. This is where they're coming from. And we need to get really real about censorship in America and in other countries, of course. But America has a standard bearing reputation for free speech, and we can never forget that. We have to keep that in mind, that we are the leader of the free world when it comes to speech, and that can never be anything that is taken away from us without our consent, and we'll never consent to it. So this is a major piece, and of course, WikiLeaks and grabbing a Julian Assange and putting him in prison and, you know, throw him in prison, throw away the key. That really told us where the censorship was headed. The incredible moment when Dorsey over at Twitter decided not to freeze the New York Post Twitter account, which had the story about Hunter Biden's laptop and all of his illegal shenanigans in China, which eventually we found out, hey, you know what? There is an FBI investigation on it. So the story was 100% right, but they didn't want to help the Trump administration because they have to go to the World Economic Forum and bow before their masters at Davos. And they can't go there and say, well, we didn't censor the story and Trump ended up winning, because then it's 40 lashes and you get, you know, maybe a Charlie Rose style scandal where, you know, they reveal all of your deep, dark Jack Dorsey ice bath secrets. This is the nature of the real scene. And we have to get our own minds wrapped around it. And we have to use this President's Day as a great reminder to ourselves that they have kind of seized the power of the presidency this time around on the deep state side. And we have to, and with that incredible run of over 40 executive orders within the first 10 days, even Democrats were aghast that Biden was trying for this. And of course, Biden, in many cases, didn't even know he was writing. He's a complete puppet of this deep state oligarchy that's been taking over and is heavily Chinese influenced. So this is what we're up against. And I think the best way for us to defeat them is to really get the right people elected who understand free speech and who understand the Constitution. One. Two, to get the word out that we're not going to take that kind of censorship, and to promote other platforms where there is no censorship, like Telegram. And on Telegram, we're actually real dark journalists, okay? Because there are some hokey dark journalists on Telegram. But we just put that up there, and we'll be doing more promotion about that, and I think people should join us there. And we are at this kind of crucial moment when it comes to this. Finally, I will say that there was a very interesting story, again, around Cuba, which is they're starting to order more and more investigations as a result of the Chinese, the American diplomats going to Cuba and then getting those acoustical concussions and being attacked by microwave weapons and all these types of things. there are very, very deep things, and they all relate to what we have researched here on this program. And they go deep, deep, directly into the hot zone. It's right in that little area right there, Cuba, Yucatan, Bimini. That's the general flow, the Caribbean, the Yucatan Peninsula. In that area and the shows we've done in the hot zone, we're going to do a lot more. It's going to explain so much of the emphasis and unusual attention around Cuba and Cuba's major role in the geopolitics that are going on right now and how it relates in many ways to ancient ruins and advanced technology. This is the deep, deep aspect of what we're covering here in this show. We're going to be doing a lot of that coming up for you. And it's going to be, you know, the next three episodes of the X series are really going to get deep into that. So I look forward to covering that with you. And with that, I'm going to shout out to a couple of people out there. We're going to wrap up tonight. It's been great to be with you. And I hope so much of this has served as a real warning about the censorship and how we really need to be calling it out when we see it any way that we can, writing letters, telling people that we object to it, making comments online, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, we are seeing a lot of headlines in the Washington Post, for example, the agency founded because of 9/11 shifts to the face the threat of domestic terrorism. That's what they want. That's what they're looking for. They want 9/11 style Patriot Act restrictions, TSA times 10. And now you are the Muslim terrorist, except you're an American citizen who wants to use his free speech or her free speech. That's what they're doing. And just recently, before I came on air here, Nancy Pelosi announced a 9/11 style commission into the events of the Capitol. Well, that is to get this domestic terrorism thing going, and it's going to fall flat on its face, but it's extremely dangerous if they get it through. So, but in actual terms versus the Constitution, even if it goes to the Supreme Court, when it comes down to it, it will fail because it is highly unconstitutional, unethical, unlawful, and dangerous to every citizen, every American citizen. And laws like it are dangerous to citizens across the world, and we need to remember that. I want to shout out to Groovy. Did a great job out there tonight running the Ideas Room. Fantastic people out there in the Ideas Room tonight. Jennifer Mimon, RR, a cult fan. I know he was out there. It's great to see you, sir. Fubar Fighter, Wendy Eater, Tom Miller. Wow, great. Great names, great people tonight. Fantastic. Non-censorship. I like that. Excellent. That's the way to do it. Strange Angel, Plan B. I see some Twitter people out here. That's great too. I know they had me in the Twitter cage for a while. Roosevelt Media. It's great to see you, sir. Fantastic. Commander Stryker. All right. Now we're talking. Catherine Harris. Great to see you. Taj Jacobs, fantastic. Excellent crew tonight. Esther Taylor, Andy B. Wow, fantastic crowd. We will be back with you on Friday. We're going to be bringing you the X series, part one of three, X100. And we've been working on it for a while. Esoteric 369 Wall, Bethany Green. Wow, great to see you all. Scarlet Fire, fantastic. To have everyone with us tonight, outstanding on this President's Day. HDDL Crypto, Daniel Browning, Gypsy Moon, Dark Truth, Karen Pearson. I know Kate was out there. It's great to see you. Dash Render. We had a phenomenal show with Gigi Young last week. Also, just incredible interview. Gigi's doing great work. And, of course, the incredible three-parter with Joseph Farrell. We have Catherine Austin Fitz and RFK Jr., all kinds of people coming up. You want to make sure you're signed up to that newsletter at darkjournalist.com. Make sure you sign up for the free newsletter. This is a great time to get behind the show and to support the show, subscribe, become a subscriber. There's going to be some incredible things and changes for subscribers coming up, and you're going to want to know about those shows. You'll get them first. Karen Carpenter, great to see you. Catherine Harris, fantastic. We will see you all on Friday, and have a great night, everyone. One and all. And remember, in the words of President Kennedy, we are opposed to censorship and excessive secrecy. And we decided long ago that the dangers of unwarranted censorship far outweigh the dangers to open conversation. We have to keep that one in mind. And I think where they're throwing off Kennedy's nephew, RFK Jr., speaking openly about the danger of experimental injectables, along with a number of other things. Really, we have to take it to heart, and we certainly will on this program. And we're going to, you know, the way that we do things, we talk about things like the UFO file. We've done the deep research on that, like in the X series, the geopolitics of the hot zone, the secret system of finance. These are the things that are so crucial. The missing trillions, and we're not backing off of them. We're not shirking our duty that Solon gave us, which was, you know, we can't shrink from controversy, because when we lose our courage to speak, then some part of the world dies. And we have to remember that our voice is a God-given thing, and that it's not something that any sort of Twitter freak can take away from us. And keep that in mind. It's great to see everyone out there. As I said, for those of you on Telegram, we are doing some things with Telegram also. And remember to go to darkjournalist.com. We will see you. And remember to subscribe to us here as well. Thanks so much for being there for us. And thanks for the super chatters tonight. We will see you all. Have a great Monday evening, and talk to you soon. You know, it says end broadcast, but never really ends. We know it pretty well. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Groovy. Nice done. Mark H. I always like getting them in at the end. Carl Young, Esther Taylor, Bethany Green. Just a terrific crowd tonight. See y'all soon.